Back When is sponsored by Siwi, the National Trust's photo printing partner. Every image captures a story. Siwi's support means the National Trust can protect our nation's memories by caring for and sharing our vast collection of historic photographs. Through our work together, we're uncovering precious and previously unseen images for everyone to enjoy. Discover our work snapshotting 200 years of history. Search online for Siwi, that's C-E-W-E, and the National Trust.
So the same way that we would talk about our famous sports stars and would argue over who was the best and who was the greatest, who was the best footballer, who's the best Formula One racer, who's the best cricket batsman or bowler, you know, you can imagine people from Roman times talking about who the best charioteer was and why.
Have you ever imagined being a fly on the wall of history? Join me for an inside view of the stories of people, places, and moments that made us. I'm historian James Grasby. Lean in for a tale from time back when.
This is the Priscina Stone. It is a beautiful example of ancient graffiti. It's of Cotswold stone, and it has the letters P-R-A-S-I-N-A inscribed on it.
This is James Ball from Chedworth Roman Villa in Gloucestershire. The name Priscina refers to a chariot racing team from ancient Rome. Priscina is derived from the Greek word prasinos, which means leek green, the colour of a leek, and was then taken on by the Romans, prasinos, prasine. And they were one of the most popular racing teams of their time.
If you're thinking Formula One, you'd be thinking Red Bull or Ferrari. If you're thinking Premier League teams, this would be your Manchester City, your Manchester United, your Liverpool, your Chelsea. These were the big guys. There were four chariot racing teams in ancient Rome. So we had the greens, the blues, the whites, and the reds.
These teams were at the top of their game. And the level of organization that went into races is similar to what we would imagine today.
It was a huge economic endeavor to put on these races, and some sources describe it as sort of sports on an industrial scale. The greens would have to have horses, they would have to have charioteers, they would have to have design for the chariots themselves. There would be multiple horses, so you'd have several hundred horses within a stable, and you'd be having to pay all of these people. You'd have all those crafts and all the skill sets that would have to come along to make this happen. It was a huge, huge enterprise.
And the crowds?
You would have hundreds of thousands of people coming along to come and watch these charioteers in action. So at the Circus Maximus, the largest in Rome, the capacity there was about 150,000 people. So if you compare that to modern stadiums, I mean, a few of the big ones are about 100,000. So this is 50,000 more than that. So the scale of it for a sport that is, you know, 2,000 years ago just blows your mind.
Well, these racegoers saw the teams competing around a tight oval-shaped track surrounded on all sides by these spectators. Like modern racing, there were skills and tactics involved to ensure your top rider was in the lead. But these were often dangerous and very high risk, which James explains added to the atmosphere of each race.
The track was about 350 metres long the one way and 350 metres long the other way, and you would go through a very, very tight turning circle, which made the races phenomenal to watch. So you'd have the charioteers and the chariots going at a hell of a pace up the one side, and then they would have to manoeuvre to go around that 180-degree hairpin bend and then get the speed up and do it again. Obviously, the first chariot to cross the line was the one that won. You'd have to really think about how you were going to, you know, race. Some of the scenes that have been described, especially as the chariots go round the 180-degree bend, it is the most dangerous part of the race. So you get these high, high speeds, and then you've got to get your angle into the turn, and you've got to be able to slow down, but you want to get the best line because it's the fastest line, but everyone's going for it. and you could have chariots toppling over, you could have horses getting caught up in it, you could have drivers thrown from the chariots. And the drivers, the charioteers, would strap themselves to the horses. So you'd be ripped off, and you could get dragged behind, but you'd have a knife strapped to your chest. So you'd have to use the knife to cut away at the reins so that you could free yourself and to be able to live and race another day. There was racing in Britain, so this was a sport that was exported across the empire. And it was the biggest sport in ancient Rome. So a lot of people talk about the gladiators. The gladiators would put on a few shows a year at the Circus Maximus and other sort of arenas. You could have a race a week. And on that day, you'd have several races happening. You would have a whole shopping arena. So people would be able to go, similar to what we do today, we go along and we have our food, we have our drink, and we buy our merchandise. Ancient fans would be able to do the same. So it was huge, and the fans were passionate, very similar to the way they are today in terms of having their sporting heroes. Charioteers themselves were superstars. They would earn a fortune. You'd be able to find remnants of these guys in mosaic floors. You'd be able to find remnants of them in frescoes. You can see their grave sites today, some of these famous charioteers. And obviously at Chedworth, we have the Priscina Stone, showing that the wealthy family here were huge supporters of the Greens.
The Priscina Stone is a great reminder of our connection with the past and our fascination with sport through the ages. And I'll leave you with a thought of what a piece of graffiti today, or cherished piece of memorabilia, may say about our own societies 2,000 years from now. Thank you for listening to this episode of Back When. Be the first to hear new stories by following us on your podcast app. And don't forget to join in with the episode by leaving a comment or sending us a message. All of the details can be found in our episode show notes. While you're there, be sure to also check out our nature show, Wild Tales, and also our kids' show, Ranger Ray and the Wildlifers. Join us again next time for more tales from time back.
This podcast is sponsored by Siwi, Europe's leading photo printing company. Every image you capture tells a story. Discover ideas for curating and creating your special memories and unique gifts for loved ones. From high-quality, personalised photo books to wall art made from your favourite photos. Head to Siwi, that's cewe.co.uk, and start creating your story.